Welcome to Senate Finance. It is January 23rd. Today we're going to hear, present at the table are Vice Chair Machicki, Senator Bishop, Senator Dunleavy, Co-Chair McKinnon, the venerable Senator from everywhere, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, and myself, Senator Kelly. Today we're going to hear overviews for sure. We've got a little bit of a time crunch because floor session is at 10. Probably what I'm going to do at the end, I talked a little bit to Mr. Hoffbeck. My apologies for stuttering on that. About adjourning. I didn't talk to you about this, but I am now. We're going to adjourn at the end. And not adjourned, but we're going to recess at the end till Monday, and then we can go ahead with your presentation first thing. And that allows us to go down to the floor and take care of business on the floor. But before we do that, very important overviews by the administration with the brand new but certainly no rookie Pat Pitney, Director of OMB. Come on up, Pat. Pat, would you prefer to take questions as they come, or would you like to go through your presentation and answer at the end?
I'm comfortable with going as questions.
Okay. All right. You have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And for the record, my name is Pat Pitney, and I'm the Office of Management and Budget Director for Governor Bill Walker. And pleased to be here and address this committee and in a new role. It feels good. It's pretty familiar faces. So thank you. With the transition and with the precipitous drop in oil, we have a little bit of a different budget situation. As you know, we put in the Parnell's work in progress budget to satisfy the December 15th date. So the bill that was transmitted earlier has that work in progress budget. The overview I'm talking about here is the governor's endorsed budget that will come through as amendments. And so with that, we will get started. So of course, putting Alaska first and Alaskans first is always on our mind. And fortunately, it's on everybody's mind in this tough situation. What are we trying to get done? Well, first, in this tough budget climate, we're trying to make sure we keep a stable economy. Education is very important. Resource development, of course, is going to be a key priority to get through to additional revenues in the future. Affordable energy and supporting Alaskan families. So when we started working with the departments, we asked them to look at this as a multi-year issue. And first, looking at today's spending. And so every commissioner is looking at how do they constrain as much as possible in this current year. Then we asked, what could you do if we reduced your budget by 5 or 8% on top of what the work in progress budget had predicted? And so they went through those scenarios, and that was for FY16. And we analyzed those. Then we've also said, okay, what would you do? What would your department look like 4 years from now if you were 25% smaller? How would we do business? We'd have to do it very different. In the instructions on the 5 and 8% scenario, we asked to have people focus as much as they could on administrative structures so that we could maximize continued service delivery. We also said, where can you partner and can you privatize? A secondary approach is, what have we passed in terms of laws? And what have we just grown into in terms of programs that the state says are important? And separating those things that we're doing that aren't required by law versus those things that are. So if there's a program going on that's not required by law or statute, we're asking them to focus on those first. Over the course of this session and coming into the next session, we're looking at all of the recent statutes that have been passed and looking at the cost of those. And are any of those ones that we would like to reel back for savings in the next year? So we have the short term, let's constrain spending. Then we have how do we structurally move to reduce spending in the future? And of course, we want to keep Alaskans involved and make this process as open as possible. Okay, so what's the budget that we put forward? Endorsed budget is $13 billion. That's remarkably almost the exact same amount as last year's budget in total funds. That's a good sign. That helps the economy be stable. It's not a shock. However, on the unrestricted side, it has come down. But this helps you see the various fund sources. So you have federal at 28%, the permanent fund almost 20%, other state funds and designated funds at about 12%. And here's the departure from previous graphs. We have unrestricted funds at 17% and unrestricted reserves at 25%. So that's our dependence on those reserves are significant. Down from the projected $3.5 billion this year, but still $3.3 billion next year. So this was actually more for me, but hopefully other people find it helpful. The federal funds and the permanent fund, where do they go? How do we attract federal funds? So our Department of Transportation account for about a third, Medicaid a little bit more than a third, and then all others, and so all other federal funds would be like university, K-12 receives some federal funds, Department of Environmental Conservation, they receive federal funds as well. So that's a split of the federal funds. Then you have and the permanent fund, of the $2.3 billion in the permanent fund, $1.4 billion goes out to citizens, and then almost $1 billion goes to inflation proofing.
So. Ms. Pitney, could you pause for just a moment? Senator Dunleavy, do you have a question?
Chair, just a quick question. Will this committee have access to the 5 and 8% reduction reports from each of your departments?
This committee will have access to the set of recommendations based on the targets that the governor has provided. So they were working documents internal.
Okay, so the actual recommendations themselves, the raw data, we won't see?
It's not the plan. They can walk through each what they said was going to be the process. So we wanted to use those as what would we support, what would we not support, and then we provided the target. And so what we're asking the commissioners to do is, based on their target, provide the recommendations there. But in fact, if the question is to a commissioner, what would you do if you went lower or higher, they would provide all of that as well.
Just to make sure, just to follow up, because the subcommittee process is beginning, or going to begin in the House, and it'll come over here, and we'll be diving into those details, and just wondering. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we committed to the commissioners that those particular documents would be for deliberative purposes, and so we want to protect that.
Go ahead, Ms. Pitney.
Okay, so a little bit more about the how the total funds that now are going to be spent. So you have the agency non-formula, and you have the capital budget, permanent fund, of course, statewide appropriations, other formula funds, which is primarily health, and then K-12. So based on the entire budget, this is the distribution by fund source. Skip forward. Since the same as the previous one, but the solid pies show those things that are state funded. The hashed ones are the external funding that is generated based on the investments of state funds. So when we drop from the $13 billion just down to the unrestricted general fund, we have almost 40% in formula, almost 40% in agency non-formula budgets, 20% in statewide appropriations, and this year's capital budget, which is quite small, is at 3%. As you know, the capital budget's the fastest place we can reduce spending, but this is about the minimum capital budget. I was when we stripped down the capital budget for the December 15 submission, it was $106 million, and that essentially is a zero budget to do the roads for the federal matching, and it's pretty amazing that it's $100 million to have a zero budget, mm-hmm. zero capital budget. But the statewide appropriations, we'll go into it in more detail, but that's tax credits. The presenters payment and debt service. And then formulas K-12 and health, and agencies are all other agency spending.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions, and I've been contemplating it, mm-hmm. so I might take it back a bit. But the first question is, in your slide deck today, will we see anything that quantifies one-time funding reductions versus funding that will last over a period of budgets? And why I ask that question is that we're looking at a forecast that some say will keep us for about 24 months down at around $50 or $60 a barrel. And with a budget that's currently billed to over $100 a barrel, we're looking for long-term savings. And we know, or at least the Finance Committee is aware, that if we take the cuts sooner in items that extend over the budget period, it will help Alaskans better to be able to recalibrate. So I'm trying to figure out how much one-time funding the governor has proposed to eliminate as far as the transfer of general fund dollars over to federal dollars, because I think it appears that Medicaid and the switch of the $450 million is why we're staying whole, it looks like, on the overall spending.
Correct.
But I just don't know how much is one-time money that's been I can quantify it on the capital budget side. I can't quantify it on the operating side. And is there a slide in the deck that will tell us that?
There's not a slide in the deck, but the reductions in the agency operating budgets are expected as base reductions. So this isn't a take it out once and put it back.
Pat,
so it's a base reduction to start forward.
Okay, we'll need those quantified, because if you're including education, that was specifically one-time money. If you're looking at, well, then we include the capital budget, but we won't talk about that. But specifically, education was identified by the governor's speech as one-time money.
And
that's $91 million, I think. Of the 100, I think you got about 142 out of the operating budget, but $91 million of that is certainly one time through, or one, two time, or something like that. Whatever.
It actually is not.
Okay.
That because the education funding was appropriated entirely in 2015,
right.
It actually will show as a $52 million reduction in the 15 supplemental. So it actually doesn't even show in these numbers.
Oh, it doesn't?
It doesn't. Okay. So it'll be a transaction in the supplemental, and it would take, because 2015 of that 90-some million, 40 of it was used in 15. It only reduces the 16 and 17 one time, and that will show up in the 15 supplemental. Therefore, what's here is base reductions.
Okay.
So,
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you. If I could be more succinct, if we could just get a dollar number and an associated percentage of the cuts that were made in the budget, that's what we're looking for. So if it was indeed agency operating budgets that are taking a reduction, if we could just get the number later and that percentage, that would be helpful. And you don't need to take care of that today.
There's a summary sheet at the end. Okay. Not in the slide deck, but at the end in your packet, and we will go over that. And it'll have all of the amounts.
Mr. Chairman, the question, and again, if you could hit on it during your presentation, you mentioned privatization, and so did the governor in his speech, the state of the budget last night. And so sometimes privatization actually saves money, and sometimes it can cost money. And so I'm wondering how you'll go about prioritizing that. So if you can work that in, I think about management fees and our large accounts where we spend money to manage investment strategies and how much money that costs us in the term of a percentage of a percentage that is categorized as an expense on our permanent fund. And so those are huge numbers for the people of Alaska. And so I'm wondering, as we look at privatization, how you might vet that process in your consideration. And certainly it doesn't have to be today, but just if we could hear how you might strategize about looking at that, that would be helpful.
Very good.
Senator Dunleavy, follow-up.
Through the Chair, just a quick follow-up. On the privatization concept, is there anything that is off the table as far as the governor is concerned? In other words, is there any area, any department, division, or function that he would not consider for privatization?
Through the chair, there is nothing off the table. We're in a situation that demands us to look differently at how we do business, and it's what's best for the state. Is it a less expensive alternative for the state in the short run and in the long run, not just expediency for today? And so I think those are the key criteria, but no, there's nothing off the table.
Senator Dunleavy?
Your Chair, just a quick follow-up. So if it can be demonstrated that a function can be done cheaper or less expensive without impacting quality, he would give that serious consideration?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ms. Pitney. And we want to be careful not to ask overarching policy questions that are certainly going to take place in the governor's cabinet room over time, and we're not going to hold you necessarily to every word that you say here. So let's be careful of the questions we ask, because we don't want to put you too much on the spot. We just need the numbers today.
Okay. So I think we've covered this slide. It's a little bit about the trend. So a significant difference from 2013 down to 2016. We just show the bar there for the PERS and TERS retirement system payment last year of $3 billion. That does actually help in going forward with a lower annual payment into the PERS and TERS accounts. And that was a positive thing for stabilizing that cost going forward. One thing we did do with the PERS and TERS is in the work in progress budget, it was through a pension obligation bond. And instead of pushing that forward and having a $5 million debt service instead of a $260 million payment, we chose the $260 million payment. So the next slide is just a breakdown of the various components. And the takeaway here is the non-formula and formula agency budgets are the ones that are the most stable. So it's the capital, the other statewide costs like debt, retirement, and tax credits are the ones that are the more volatile. So they're fairly stable, although yes, growing. So the next chart is on the agency non-formula. And these are the percent reductions for agency non-formula. So Judiciary is almost a no change from the previous year. And then through the various areas. The governor's 30% there, that's because of reduction in elections, because it's 2016 is not an election year, and 2015 was higher than normal because of the election year. The 11% that he was speaking of is his executive office. So that's the difference between those two. Labor and commerce are the two areas that have grown quickest in the last few years. A couple of the criteria that we used in looking at this was how much have entities increased over the past, and as one criteria, how much have they been reduced over in recent years, another criteria, and then most importantly, what is the priority need for the service in the future? And so if natural resources, public service, and health fall into those categories. University took a $16 million reduction last year, so they're sizing into that reduction while they're taking this additional reduction. It also looked at the impact of eliminating the fuel trigger mechanism. So this particular budget reduces or eliminates the fuel trigger mechanism, and since price of oil is below the fuel trigger mechanism, it probably makes sense. But it does normalize for the reducing that, eliminating that program.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Pitney, I wonder if we could get a breakdown of actually what this reduction entails by department, what has been eliminated.
We will be prepared to do that with each department, yes. That is, the targets were released to the departments just about a week ago. So they are working through those reduction scenarios. But because of the 5 and 8% scenario exercise, they're fairly far along. And so, and as those get specific, then they'll come across to as specific amendments that reached that target. Okay. Going down. So a little bit about the federal or the capital budget. So high level summary. As you know, we stripped it down for the December 15 submission, and at 106, a few projects have come back for a total of 150 million. This also includes reappropriations of two projects, the Mount Spur geothermal project that stalled. That is the primary offset for the energy and weatherization and energy and weatherization programs, and then the aerospace, 22 million of the 25 million aerospace was another reappropriation, and that went towards the. Towards this balance of 150 million. The maintenance is scaled down significantly from prior years, but not stopped entirely, so there's some for administration, university, and Department of Transportation, lion's share in Department of Transportation. And the small amount that would add a year of construction for the UAF engineering building. So, and Arctic policy, this is a key opportunity for Alaska. We have 2 years starting essentially right now as with the U.S. Arctic chairmanship, and with Alaska being the only Arctic state, we have 2 years to make sure Alaska's agenda is the top of the U.S. agenda for that chairmanship. So this adds to what the committee or your commission on Arctic policy should do, and the specialist Craig Fleener, I'm sure, is working closely and figuring out which policy priorities push forward.
Senator Machicki?
I have an easy one for you through the chair. Is this presentation available electronically as well?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Pippi.
Other questions? Okay. So now a little bit about context with the revenue. I'm providing three scenarios, revenue scenarios here. This is the black line represents the Department of Revenue's forecast, and this shows the price of oil returning back to $100. So as you can see, our spending for 2016 is significantly higher, and that's the $3.3 million gap that I showed earlier. Okay, and what does it do for reserves? Under that scenario, our reserves last until fiscal year 2022. But they do come down significantly even in that respect each year. But the forecast, if most optimistically for a gas line, it could start in 2023. So there'd be a very small bridge if our oil prices go to the forecast.
Oh, look, a unicorn.
That's why the next scenario is coming up. Also an optimist. Also, it could be an optimistic scenario. So this is on the, let's say it goes to 85, 3 years out. I have the same picture for 16, but a little bit better picture. Okay. But even at $85 a barrel oil, our reserves last through fiscal year 18.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Pitney, on all of these scenarios, you had stated that in 4 years we'd anticipate a $25 million or 25% reduction in the operating budget. Does that assumption follow through with these slides, or what is the reduction scenario under these forecasts for the savings account?
Yeah, this particular one was built on the FY16 flat, but a 25%, you'll see a 25% reduction in agency operating budgets would move that $1.9 billion at the end of 18 to about $2.2 billion. So we're still out at the end, still have reserves through 2018.
So I guess, Mr. Chairman, if I could request slides such as this with the reductions up to 25% and see where we are with our savings accounts with the governor's forecasted reductions.
Perfect. Okay, so here's the kind of the last scenario that we're talking about. What if oil stays at $50 a barrel? Our reserves are depleted in fiscal year 17. Well, what it says is there's $2 billion left in our reserves at the end of fiscal year 17 that would not be sufficient to get us through fiscal year 18 without additional revenue. So,
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Pitney, could you tell the people of Alaska when FY18 hits in a calendar year?
In a calendar year, FY18 hits in July of 2017.
And the reason that I wanted to highlight that is less than 1,000 days away. And just wanted to highlight that when we're talking fiscal years, that you can subtract a year to how close that is on our horizon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, I appreciate that charts and the fact that you're going to be focused on a more realistic range of oil prices. I would like to see one final chart in the $40 range for a consideration that's very much realistic in a range of probabilities that I think we need to think about that. It would be a very different outlook than the $50 oil we're looking at today. And, you know, I say my prayers every night about what I hope the price of oil is in a year and a half or so, hopefully sooner. But we don't know what's going to happen on this planet. If we trip into another recession, it's when you're starting looking at $50 oil, you don't know that you're not going to be dealing with something lower. And it's something for us to be focused on about how we would manage the state government if we're facing those kinds of prices.
Okay. Go ahead.
So it is very possible that oil could be at $40 a barrel, and it could stay there. So one of the conversations that I think is very important for us to have is, what should Alaska's budget be? Because there's no other state that manages their budget on the price of oil and the production of oil. They manage it on, what do we need for services for the people who live in the state? What does the geography of our state demand? So I've put up a few things about what do we support in this budget. 128,000 students, 150,000 Medicaid beneficiaries, public health clinics, 5,600 miles of roads. You know, there's 132,000 court cases each year. 285,000 gallons of oil and hazardous material that has to be collected. Permanent funds for 640,000 people. There's 43,000 retirees that are supported by this budget. There's 40,000 plus full-time people employed either by the state, the university, or K-12 system. 2,400 state buildings. We have the largest airport system in the world. We have the largest marine highway system in the world. These are things that our state supports. So the question is not so much what can we afford at $40 a barrel oil, which is very little, but it's what do we want to, what size government should we be? What's the right size for Alaska's government? So we've taken two approaches to this. So this graph, kind of complicated, but bear with me for a second. What it is, it shows the spending for each state based on population and the trend line. So you can see Alaska way down on the bottom, right over here. Okay. And we've taken, just so you can see Alaska still, we've taken the big four states off the graph. They're sitting way up over here. But this line is kind of the per population average, and as you can see, Alaska is above the line. Okay, so if Alaska was on that line, so that's not taking into account any cost of living differential, any salary differentials, any heating cost differentials. If Alaska were on that line, it would predict our budget would be $5.3 billion. This budget submitted is a $5.5 billion budget. So if you take the big four out of this equation, the number actually goes down. It would predict a $4.8 billion budget. So that's two kind of boundaries. Again, not accounting for any cost of living differential, any geography. What other states do for their state government would be between $4.8 billion and $5.3 billion. Is that right for Alaska? Don't know, but it's a boundary that's not $40 a barrel oil. So a second approach that we looked at to be, what is the right size?
To the chair.
Senator Dunleavy.
Just a brief, very quick question before we get too far beyond it. Mm-hmm. Back on page 21. You have 150,000 Medicaid beneficiaries. If Medicaid is expanded, as the governor wishes, how many more beneficiaries would be put on the roll?
Some reports show 40,000. Other predictions show as little as 16,000.
So 16 to 40,000.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that 40,000 number is... I'm not sure that's really even being discussed now, is it? That we've kind of moved off that number, yeah. I think it's actually in a range from 16,000 down from there, but yeah. Just for clarification purposes. Go ahead.
Okay. So the other way we looked at state spending and what would be the appropriate state spending is Senator Kelly was here in 1998. And I appreciated the nod to the pent-up demand in 1998. 1998 was 15 years of absolutely flat budgets for the state of Alaska. So it was a low point. And if people thought that we had big government in 98, I think everybody would be arguing that we did not have big government in 1998. We had a very lean budget because we went through 15 years of significant reduced budget and then flat for this period of time. But let's say we started at 1998 and we inflation adjusted, and this is just on the agency operating, so formula and non-formula. Let's say we just inflated through today, that's $3.2 billion against a $4.2 billion level. Now, if you count in population growth, that number would be $4 billion. And the proposal we've put forward is $4.2 billion, down from about $4.4 billion. So that's another kind of indicator of lean size of government. That's another boundary that might be considered. Again, significantly more than what $40 or $50 a barrel oil would predict. And
Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Chairman Kelly, Pat, you just dovetailed in where I was wanting to ask a question, and Senator Kelly alluded to it yesterday, the 15 years of pent-up demand, and then we go forward. So as we're looking at this and having a real honest look where we are at this point in time, was I think part of that pent-up demand was, and I wondered if it's included in this budget or should be included in this budget going forward so we really have a good look at the budget, is the deferred maintenance of those 2,400 state buildings. And that should be a part of this budget equation. And is it in here going forward on a progressive taking care of our assets? Because deferred maintenance is bad business in my opinion.
So the $3.2 billion to $4 billion boundary is only on the agency operating side, and it does not take into account the capital, and so it is not in here, and that's that is a future cost. What's not spent today on deferred on maintenance will cost more tomorrow, but it is not reflected in this particular graph.
Pat. On the 1998 number of 2.0, whatever it was, it seems like that was operating in capital, that number. It wasn't federal, but it was operating in capital.
If you look closely, there's a little itty-bitty green sliver. That's capital. That was when capital was $100 million It was a maximum $100 million.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got you.
So we actually...
Your starting points merged there between your capital and your operating because there was such a small difference.
Small capital. Yeah, that 2.2-ish billion included capital in those, you know, because capital was always very small through the 90s. So, and this one is, again, for perspective. So you could take that $50 barrel oil and drop it down a little bit until you get to $40 barrel oil. But agency operations for non-formula are not... or would it eclipse that amount of money?
I'm not sure what you're saying here, Pat.
So the first bar is agencies non-formula. The second bar is the fiscal year 16 agency formula and non-formula.
Oh, the live. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. The third bar is the entire fiscal year 16 unrestricted general fund endorsed budget. And the last bar, the orange bar, is if we were 25% below the FY15 level for agency operating budgets, where would we be? Because there are certain things that if you, you know, the capital budget's very small, the tax credit and the retirement payments are not discretionary at this point, or not discretionary, period. It does not move the bar significantly if you look at the 2016 unrestricted general fund budget to 25% below the others. But even at $100 a barrel oil, we don't quite match.
Senator Machicki?
So what you're saying, if you go back two slides, is that it would be almost, it would be very challenging to get on that line on par with smaller population states. It's going to be very difficult to get to where you could match up to the spending for smaller population states. The only reason I bring that up is if you can go back two slides. All right. So if you drew a bar at a million population under, we're an outlier, clearly. What would be really interesting to see to help Alaskans understand how it's been and the challenge we're in is if each one of these dots were color-coded as to whether or not they have a state income tax, a state property tax, or a state sales tax, or all three. I would imagine as you climb up this line, the colors are going to become pretty consistent. And we essentially have no state taxes, and it's going to be difficult to get to where we want to get unless we become very aggressive and Alaskans identify what services they demand as opposed to what they've become accustomed to. It's just a whole different planet.
Through the chair, we can put colors on those.
Go ahead, Pat.
So this is my final slide. The $100 barrel oil at the production rate we are and a 25% reduction still leaves a gap. And that gap is small at $100 barrel oil. We can get to 2022 and make it into a gas revenue standpoint. Below that, there's going to have to be some sort of bridging. And with that, that's the end of my slide deck. In the papers that you have and what's posted, there's a summary of the agency's targets and budgets here, and then a capital summary with all of the detail for the capital projects and for the overview. I don't know that it's necessary to go through those. I just wanted to make sure that people knew that they were there.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that we have the bells calling us. I'm just wondering, for the record, if there's been any reappropriations on the mega projects as the money you identified for reapproach, you said it was the Mountain Spur and the aerospace. Has anything been done with any other federal funds that have been invested?
There, no other reappropriations for mega projects have happened pending the evaluation.
Thank you.
Matt, I probably have too much confidence in you because I worked with you at the university and you were able to pull rabbits out of, too many rabbits out of too many hats, so I kind of look to you to do that. And one of the problems that we have in the legislature is we get to this time of year, we sit around this table, and all of a sudden we're forced into playing the role of manager instead of board of directors. And it's not a role that I think works very well in this scenario because we have some serious reductions to make. I applaud the governor for what he's done so far. It's not enough. Everybody knows that. And that's not a criticism. I'm just saying it's just the reality of the situation. You look at these graphs and it kind of takes your breath away. But because I have so much confidence in you, I'm just tempted to say, let's simplify this thing and write you a check and say this is a management problem, not to throw it off to you like it's your worry, but we can't manage the day-to-day operations of the state, and you can. And I think it might be worth the discussion to get this pain over with, because those graphs aren't going to get us to the period of time when we have the revenue coming for gas. And even if they do, we will not have done what I think we need to do, which is right-size government. And I think rather than look from our perspective, you know, when you look at right-sizing government, you know what pink slips need to go out and what programs can stop and which ones can limp forward. We never have that kind of time to identify those to our satisfaction. I have a point here somewhere, I'm sure. But I guess the point is that the governor asked for flexibility last night, and I think in this environment we've got to give it to him. But understand, I think that the people at this table, I don't mean to speak for them, so pipe up if I'm going too far, but I think most of the folks at this table would agree we've got to go deeper. And in 90 days, we're probably going to have to throw a lot of the responsibility for how our cuts are managed. And so I want to give you that authority. And I'm sure there's some disagreement in this building. It's probably a lot. But I do want to give you that flexibility. And then next year, if you didn't perform in the way that was in the best interest of Alaska, then we come back and say, well, we got to retool. Just my comment. But I think I applaud you guys for what you've done so far, but we've got to go further. Any other comments or questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Pitney, I just was wondering when the governor is going to be releasing his new endorsed budget out. Maybe you already said that, but for some reason missed it.
So from a technical standpoint, this is the level of budget that you will see. The actual transaction detail will come in shortly after the first of the month.
We better get down.
Very near future.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other business? Thank you, Ms. Pitney. Appreciate your help. We better get down to the floor. Session's coming up. We are at a recess until Monday. Mr. Hoppeck, I hope that's not a problem.
Time Monday?
9 o'clock Monday, yeah. So we are in recess.